Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's the someplace they play football.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama, you listen.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Don't let them play against and make his ass quit. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, it's spring fling time, right? Are you ready to talk some spring football?
Man, I have been ready to talk spring football. I am tired of watching bowling and golf and all these other fun sports that I care nothing about.
Well, there's been a lot that's happened in the offseason, and we're going to go a little bit out of order because I think we're going to focus right here leading up to spring practice. We're going to kind of skip over some of the coaching changes. We're going to skip over recruiting. We'll cover those topics, but I think we're going to do a little short series here, one offense, one defense, talking about what we're looking for going into spring practice, and we'll wrap it up after A-Day. I do want to just give just a nod to Coach Mal Moore. He's in the hospital, recently transported to Duke. And so as we're recording these shows, we don't really know where that's going to go, but just want to give a tip of the hat to Coach Moore.
Absolutely.
I know that you and I had an opportunity, and it was just kind of random, but we encountered him at a restaurant in Tuscaloosa. It's been a few years ago now, but he just seemed, a stand-up person and a real class act, and certainly what he's done for the university in terms of the fundraising and the program, the facilities build, and he, you know, you can't overlook bringing in Nick Saban. He's done a lot for the program. He has more Alabama in his little finger than probably both of us do. But, 50 years working and playing at the university will do that for you. So he's forgotten more than we know. But, tip of the hat to Mal Moore. You ready to jump into offense?
I am ready to go, man.
All right. Well, let's kick it off, and I'll give you the lead topic. But, you know, we're each going to rattle off and spend some time discussing the top things that we're looking forward to in spring practice. And it's cool. So it could be a unit, it could be a player. Why don't you kick us off with your first item? It's talking offense.
Man, we have to start on offense with the offensive line. We have been truly blessed with the likes of Barrett Jones and Chance Warmack and Fluker. I mean, literally to have these guys and have the consecutive starts that these guys have had, and just their ability to adapt to situations with their run blocking and their calls and their pulls. I mean, last year we saw the center pull one play, guards pull the next, tackles pull the next. I mean, just the cohesiveness between that unit was really amazing. And so having a new offensive line coach and then having to replace three starters, Alabama's success has been the play action. And the play action has been set up because we ram it down your throats. And that has to be my first area of curiosity is who are going to be the three guys to step up at that offensive line.
And my first item is along those lines as well. And quite frankly, I've distilled it down to the Q&A on the offensive line for me is who claims the left guard spot. I think Cyrus is the left tackle. I think Ryan Kelly is the center. I think Anthony Steen keeps us out there at right guard. I think the JUCO, Leon Brown, takes the right tackle. So the question for me is who claims that left guard spot? Is it Ari playing next to his brother? Is it Austin Shepard? You know, maybe some dark horse. Brandon Green came in as a big boy, but, you know, potentially could fit in there. And Alphonse Taylor, who was a freshman last year, redshirted, came in as a DL, going to play on the OL. You know, he might be a dark horse candidate. There's others, but I think the offensive line Q&A comes down to who gets that left guard spot.
Well, when it comes to Leon Brown for a second, Saban has been known for if I'm bringing in a JUCO, I'm bringing in a guy that's ready to step in and play.
Yep.
And so you would assume that that is going to be the case with Leon. And Austin Shepard might have something to say about that. The good thing is we've got guys now that has been in the system for a little while. But I do have to take a second and talk about Taylor. You and I noticed last year just his measurables in just passing the eye test. I mean, this guy was as big as Warmack with less around his belly. And we have not been privy to go into a practice and watching him line up in practice. But of looking at the guys on the sideline holding their helmets during the game, he's the guy I'm the most intrigued to see in spring practice.
Yeah, Rodney on TI has a photo from the pro day earlier this week. And there's a picture, and I did a double take. There's a picture of Jousten Fowler standing next to Alphonse Taylor. And it looks like a big dude and his little brother.
Oh, my gosh.
And you think, no, the little guy is a 240-pound, 6'2", fullback, you know, bruiser. And so the guy that he's standing next to must just really be a freaking giant. And that's Alphonse Taylor. So I think it comes down to, yeah, I think Leon Brown, you know, he's sort of the James Carpenter type player. He's going to come in and play. And it comes down to who gets that left guard spot. And Alphonse Taylor wouldn't be at the top of my list, but he's on the list just because of his just sheer size. And I think that we're going to want to road grade people, you know, similar to what we did, you know, last year. He's replacing this player, this position, or he's replacing Chance. And so I think that, you know, he'll have an opportunity to do that. I like the story of Ari winning the position. So he plays next to his brother. He has a history of knee injuries, and so we'll have to see how that plays out. Austin Shepherd is no worse than our sixth lineman, and so he could be a swing lineman, a situational type lineman. But I think it'll be interesting to see who wins that spot.
Well, it also makes you wonder, you know, given the when we bounce over to defense in a minute, given what we lost on the defensive line, you know, is it out of the question that depending on how well Leon Brown adapts, do you see a Taylor move back to defensive line? Because at 6'6", he's a little tall to play guard, don't you think?
Yeah, he is. I would say let's put a pin in that because we can hit that topic up when we go back to defense. I think it's going to come down to, and it always, you know, theoretically comes down to this, but I think with Cristobal, it's going to come down to who's the best five, and then just put them, you know, in where they can play. If Alphonse is one of the top five, then he'll get in there. I don't know necessarily that he will be, but like I said, he's on my short list.
Okay. I definitely wanted to start there because the success of this offense has been through the running game. And you would have to think if there's going to be a letdown, this would be the year after 3 years of lots of success.
Right, right. Agreed.
What's your next topic on offense?
Well, you know, I've got a couple, but, you know, I'll go to the quarterback position. And I think it distills down to who's the backup. And even further than that, you know, we've got seven quarterbacks on campus, you know, six on scholarship. We've got the Del Rio kid walking on, but six are preferred walk on. Seven is just an insane number. I think it comes down to, you know, with all of those numbers, I think it comes down to who's the backup, Alex Morris or Cooper Bateman?
Well,
both on campus participating in spring drills.
Okay. Well, do you think, now you did just say Alec Morris and Cooper Bateman.
I did.
Okay.
The redshirt freshman and the true freshman.
So what do you think we'll see from a Blake Sims or a Philip Ely?
Are you reading my sheet? Because I've got like sub questions. So the backup question, the backup quarterback, this is, you know, this is what I'm looking for. I think it's either Morris or Bateman. And I've got two sub questions. Does Philip transfer? Which I think there's a chance that that could happen. If he falls to third, fourth in the depth chart, I think there's a very real chance. And then I ask the question, you know, what position does Blake Sims end up playing?
Now, wasn't there a rumor in the offseason that Philip Ely was already going to transfer?
There was a rumor of that. I had zero surprise at that rumor. He came back and said, you know, he's not. That's fine. Sometimes those rumors, you know, come from nowhere. Sometimes those rumors come because someone gives a whiff of a conversation, and so you deny it because it's still not determined. But you get halfway through spring, you know, and then it's AJ, it's clearly Cooper and Alex battling it out. And so the earliest you could fall into some playing time would be the fourth position. But if Blake Sims is going to kind of still kind of be there as a wildcat type of player, you know, then suddenly maybe you're falling to the fifth spot with another freshman and a walk-on. it, you know, that might be a writing on the wall type situation. And well, I'm not mad at Phillip. I'm just saying sometimes it's numbers.
Well, and for the same reason of numbers and Saban's ability to play younger guys, depending on who he thinks is the best to put on the field, I think Blake is also going to be put in a difficult situation because there's a crowded backfield and there's crowded wide receiver core. And so if you're Blake Sims, he might have to make the decision that if I want to finish my education at Alabama, then I'm just going to be the wildcat go-to quarterback, and that's what I'm going to be from here on out.
Sure. And it could be, and again, I'm not mad at either of these two guys, it could be that both of them transfer. I would not be surprised at all, because five quarterbacks is still a big number for Alabama.
Well, what's interesting about that is look at the depth issues that we had a couple years ago, and look at the number of quarterbacks that we did not have. And then if you're Saban, you have to be a little bit concerned about not being too lean, because you know that A.J. McCarron played hurt for half the season, even though other people didn't know it.
Sure. No, I completely agree with that. There's comfort in having the numbers because, you know, surely someone will pan out. You know, you look at these seven guys, three of them are brand new, you know, true freshmen. And so when you think of numbers games, you know, it was four last year, you know, when we were trying to redshirt one, and, you know, Blake ended up being the guy. So I'm not rooting that we lose any of them. I just think seven starts to get a little top heavy number wise. And if you're one of these guys, especially if you're one of these guys that's been at Alabama a while and you find yourself on the back end of that, you know, it's just a writing on the wall type situation.
Well, and it's going to be fun, right? Because we're waiting to see what Alec Morris can do without the red shirt on him.
Yep.
This Cooper Bateman looks interesting, man. He comes in. I read where he came in as the second highest rated quarterback under Saban at Alabama.
Yes.
And so he comes in with the pedigree of running the pro-style offense. And so it'll be interesting throwing him into the mix.
Well, I've positioned it. I'm not going to force – I am going to ask you the question, but I'm not going to force it in the context that I'm framing it. I think it comes down to Morris and Bateman. I think we go with Morris. He's been a year in the system. If we can redshirt and get some separation with Bateman, I think that's what we'd like to do on paper. Now, if he comes in and blows the doors off of it, then – you know, he has an opportunity to do that. I happen to think it'll be Morris. Who do you think it is? And, you know, you can pick across all of them.
Well, as far as the backup, I do think Phillip and or Blake will probably transfer. I can never understand, if you're going to transfer, why you don't transfer before spring. But that's what Sims did. You know, that's what Phillip did. So, you know, who knows? He was able to still start the same year that he transferred.
It's not unusual, though, to go through spring just to see, this is my final chance to see where things, you know, shape up on the depth chart. It's not unusual.
I can see, if I'm a Phillip or a Blake, especially if I'm a Phillip. Okay, Blake, I get what you're saying on Blake, but on Phillip, I mean, now's your chance to go somewhere else and try to get a spring under your belt so you have some chance to move up the depth chart. So for Phillip, I'm surprised he's not already gone.
Yeah, I you know, to do that, though, you'd have to leave before school starts, and you'd really be giving up, you know, even before the signing class. And so I think because you want to wait and see what the recruiting class is, because what if none of the quarterback came? You wouldn't want to leave then. And then I think you say, look, I'm going to make one last go of this. Let's see what I can do in spring drills. So,
well, and if you're Blake Sims, now that it's come out how long AJ was hurt and what little Blake did play, I guess that speaks more to why we saw him more later in the year than we kind of thought we would. But even when he had his chance to shine, he didn't. So he has to be seeing the writing on the wall right now.
No, I agree. I'm going to carry you back to the question, who wins a backup quarterback spot?
It can't be Bateman. It's only Bateman if Morris gets hurt.
Okay.
Because Saban, just like you said, I mean, Saban's not going to use a red shirt if he doesn't have to. If he was all about, you know, pulling the red shirt, we would have saw Morris last year, because he knows Blake is not a quarterback at Alabama.
Yeah, and that's fair. Bateman would have to really be special to burn a red shirt in a backup role. So I'm with you on that. Quarterbacks are different animals. I think that, you know, similar to what I think we did with Morris last year is like, dude, you can play, but we're not going to burn your red shot, you know, red shirt to mop up in the fourth quarter. We'll probably tell Bateman something similar to that.
Hey, one more thing I want to throw out there that I think is important too is we've got three new offensive linemen. We've got a new offensive line coach. We might have a different level of pass protection early in the season than we've been accustomed to. And so a young quarterback like a Bateman, even if he kind of really shines, I think Saban's going to be very hesitant to put anybody on that field besides AJ.
Well, you know, and that's fair, at least until things settle down. So that's more than fair. So you're saying, you know, we're going to find out probably it won't be announced in spring. Let's be realistic. But you're leaning towards Alec Morris.
Oh, yeah. And I think we'll see the same kind of mess that frustrated us before. And we'll see Alex Morris. It will be interesting in spring to see which two quarterbacks, that should have been my question to you, which two quarterbacks in the spring are going to have the most stats?
Oh, Morris and Bateman. We should freeze dry AJ or something. You know, and bring them out on game day.
See, but what about Blake? Blake's going to get a lot. I think if Blake is still there, I think you're going to see Blake and Alex Morris be the starting quarterback for the two respective teams. And that's when Phillip's going to be on the sideline scratching his head. And I bet you just see Bateman in the mop-up duty fourth quarter of spring.
Yeah, we'll see. I disagree with that. I think it's Morris and Bateman, you know, and then, you know, then we kind of trickle down from there. What next topic do you have up on offense?
Well, you know, after talking about the offensive line, the most important thing for me after that was tight end. I mean, with the success that this Alabama team has had running the football, it was in large part last year to Michael Williams, who was really a sixth offensive lineman. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a guy like him returning. We've got guys that can do some of what he did, but we currently don't have anybody that does all of what he did.
No, we do not. We do not have what I would term an inline blocker. I think we've got some receivers at the position, but I don't think we have an inline blocker, you know, quite what Michael Williams was. And then Michael Williams had the ability to peel off, you know, to be a tackle essentially on one play, on the next play, you know, peel off and make a big catch. I think he was it seems like his numbers could have always been a little bit better, but he was an underrated player, and we will certainly miss him, you know, for that versatility. I think he'll be a late draft pick, but I have an opportunity to have some success in the league. And so at the tight end position, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're looking for the blocking tight end.
Well, I don't even think, I mean, we have to start with the blocking tight end, the catching tight end. I mean, let's face it, Michael Williams only had 23 catches last year. And that was a low number for the past couple of years under Saban, but I'm not concerned with, you know, I think OJ Howard, you know, will not be able to be kept off the field. And I think OJ Howard will take care of some of those catches for us.
Oh, yes.
But from a running game with three new offensive linemen, you're not going to see the two tight ends, okay? It's going to be just like last year. Last year, we were more in the three wide than the two tight ends. Why? Because we didn't have two tight ends that we were comfortable with. It wasn't till late in the year did we see some packages with Brian Vogler and Michael Williams, or Kelly Johnson and Michael Williams. And so I think that Saban is going to be more than happy if he can find one blocking tight end who can serve that role. And then we'll have two guys do Michael Williams' job. And so I think Malcolm might be the best guy to get the nod, because I think he has the best ability to be that blocking tight end.
I know that's what he was known for coming out of high school. I think free tag is, you know, I think he's coming on as a blocker. I think Vogler's the one not to sleep on. I put him in the, you know, for the last, how many years have we questioned, gosh, who's going to step up and be the next tight end? You know, and then Colin Peake came from nowhere, and then Preston Dial came from nowhere, and then Brad Smellie came from nowhere. We kind of saw Michael Williams coming, but he was the only one. I think Vogler, you know, he goes big. He's 6'7". I think he, you know, he's got the pass catching down. That's sort of his forte. But I think he's a big body, and I think he knows what it's going to take to get on the field. I think that he becomes serviceable. He's not a Michael Williams. You know, he's not, you know, some of the guys that we've had in the past that's a road grade blocker. But I think he's serviceable at the position. And really, you know, we're reading each other's mail because for, you know, really the next item I had is, you know, the question that I had is OJ Mayo as good as advertised? Because if he is, and he brings a dynamic, you know, I think really a devastating matchup opportunity at the H-back position if he is. I mean, he's the first five-star recruit nationally at the tight end position since 2008 when Kyle Rudolph went to Notre Dame. I mean, it's not often that those tight ends are awarded such accolades. If he is as good as advertised, wow, that's going to be something impressive. If he's as good as advertised, hell, bring Austin Shepherd in as the quote-unquote the tight end, and then, you know, set O.J. Howard loose at the H-back.
Oh, sure. Well, going back to Vogler for a second, you would have to think, because he was the guy that came in late in the year with Michael Williams when they did go two tight ends,
yep,
you would have to think that he would have to be that guy. What's so amazing about Saban's system on offense is the way they position their motion and how much they use motion on every play in so many different directions. They're able to get the H-back in the most advantageous position, right, to be able to make an easy block.
Yep.
And so even if it's a Brian Vogler, he's just going to have to remember, like Michael Williams did, okay, on this play, I might have to move three times in the backfield, once behind the right tackle, once behind the left tackle, and then go get in the fullback position. The other thing that's interesting about this real quick, not to skip OJ for a second, is Jostin Fowler. Because when we lost Jostin Fowler, not to skip to running backs, but when we lost Jostin Fowler, we lost his ability to help in the blocking game. And so between a Brian Vogler and a Jostin Fowler, you might have enough of what you need to allow an OJ to just focus on being a pass-catching tight end, which is a lot less of the playbook to learn like a wide receiver. And he can come in a la a Julio at his position and not have to be expected to do too much.
Yes. Yeah.
He can run routes. He did routes in high school.
Yeah, we don't give him a full plate. We just give him a slice. Say, go do this, young man. We'll fill up your plate as you learn more. But you have a skill set that's so proficient at this slice, we're going to exploit this while you learn the rest.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'll throw this out there. I know you mentioned Fowler. We love Fowler. He was going to do just incredible things last year at the fullback, H-back, tailback position. I know that we were both ginned up on him. It's, you know, terrible that he was injured the way that he was. I bet that he's probably no contact in spring. I think we're going to give him more time. So does he have a role there? Absolutely. Are we going to see that in the spring? Probably not. I would go as far as to say I hope not. And then while we're talking about the tight end H-back, I don't want to give too short shrift to Harrison Jones because he played at that position, you know, last year. And I expect that we'll see more of him there as well.
Well, I mean, let's face it, right? Even Kelly Johnson, who came out of nowhere because he was tough and he stuck his neck in there. As long as you can block, you're going to get on the field. And so, you know, who knows? That's probably a huge question to see who's going to – it's probably going to be somebody we haven't even talked about that's going to surprise us at that position. But I do think Fowler will be out there. It was just a knee injury. It wasn't a severe knee injury. It happened early in the season. And if I'm Jostin Fowler, I want to be out there because right now that's becoming another crowded position. See, last year, a Jostin Fowler – we saw him being used at so many positions because of a depth issue, right? And because of all the injuries. Well, if all these guys come back healthy, we suddenly don't need him to be so multifaceted. I mean, this is the most loaded depth-wise of offensive talent that I can remember Alabama having in more years than I can count.
Oh, absolutely. I would say that I think his injury was probably more than more significant than you're giving him credit for. And I do think, and we'll find out, right? We'll find out this weekend. I do think that he's limited in what he does in the spring.
Okay. What do you think about the running back position? Any questions for you there?
You know, the biggest thing, I think the biggest question that I have at the running back position really boils down to this. Can Kenyon Drake pass protect? And if he can, he is the leader in the clubhouse to be the number two back.
Oh, I disagree with that one.
If he cannot, then he may struggle in the fall when all of the freshmen come in. So we're talking about spring. What am I looking for in the spring? I want to see if Kenyon Drake can pass protect, because he would have played a lot more last year. Number one, if he had gone to class for that one game. And then number two, if his pass protection were up to par.
Well, I will surprise you on this one based on your comment about Fowler. We will see more Fowler in the spring than Drake.
Okay.
And so if you're correct and Fowler is limited, then Drake, this is your moment to shine. But from all reports, Derrick Henry might have something to say about that, which is why he got there in January.
Yeah, and I think Henry is maybe the wild card there. But I look at the running back position, and I really think, move along, folks. There's not a lot to see here. You interpret it differently, and that's more than fair. But I think, okay, Yeldon, we know what he is. Let's hermetically seal him so he doesn't get hurt in the spring. Then it comes down to Hart and Fowler, who are both coming off knee injuries. I don't think that we exploit them that much, that we put them that out there that much in spring. So then what do you got? You got Drake and then Derrick Henry. And then, Trey Roberts, a walk-on's on the list. But it really comes down to Drake and Henry. And so Henry may be better. I don't know. But Drake has really impressed me. And if he can pick up his pass protection, I just think that puts him ahead of the game going into fall. I just think there's not a lot to see at running back in the spring because of we're protecting people that have been injured, people from injury, and just not all of our reinforcements are in. This is a passing game. This is a passing spring.
Well, you would hope that it's not a passing spring because we need to work on our running game against a still very good defensive talent on the defensive side of the ball. But I think for Derrick Henry, it comes down to his ability to understand the playbook. Without calling names, you and I have seen other players come in the past couple of years that we expected to contribute that did not and redshirted.
Yep.
And so if Derrick Henry is able to come in and understand his role and understand when he's supposed to pick up the blitz, I think Derrick Henry might give us a wow moment like TJ did against CJ Mosley in last year's spring game.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I have no doubt that, he'll kind of give us a wow moment in the game, kind of split squad situation. I just think when it comes to what does the spring mean in terms of projecting for the fall, I think there's a lot of, upstairs work for Drake. And if he's been doing that and putting in his time, in the film and working with coaches on blocking and he's ready to pick that up, I think he's going to step right in as the backup.
Well, I hope he does, but it's kind of set up nicely for him, right? Between everything you just discussed with the injuries and stuff, it's definitely set up nicely for him for sure.
Yeah, and that's why I think that's especially why I think it's so important, because he has the door open in front of him. And if he chooses not to walk through it, he may struggle to get a like-kind opportunity again in his career.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
I wanted, while we're talking running backs, I just want to give a public service announcement to all of the Alabama fans out there. Please, please, please do not be surprised and do not invest a second's worry or thought if you see D. Hart spend time with the defensive backs. Coach Saban did that with Demetrius Gould a couple years ago. He was coming off a knee injury, and it's something Coach does to get their mind away from their injury. Go out there in the defensive backfield, run around, prove that you can cut and make moves, build up some confidence, then we'll bring you back to the running back position. It's what he did with Demetrius Gould. It's probably what he's going to do a little bit with DeHart. And the media will be breathless over DeHart at a cornerback position, and it will mean nothing. So don't even think about it.
No, I agree with that. I don't know if they will listen, but I agree with you.
No. Everyone will go apeshit over it. But I just want to, you know, put it out there right now. It's probably going to happen, and it means nothing.
Hey, what other questions do you have on offense going into spring?
I am so excited for an opportunity to see Chris Black perform on the field. If he's as good as advertised, then that's just, we talk about the multitude of weapons and layered upon layered. I don't know that I've ever seen us have this much, you know, kind of stockpiled talent on offense, especially, we're talking skill positions. Yeah, if he's as good as advertised, I think that'll be something to see.
No, that's true. I do think that we saw a good glimpse of him in last year's A-Day game. He was the other one that shined along with T.J. Yeldon.
Yep.
So he flashed then, and I think he will be anxious to get back out there. And I think what he brings to the table from the current wide receivers already on campus, he brings something to that slot position that if we would have had it last year, oh my gosh, just another weapon.
Yes.
None of the other current receivers bring what I think he brings to that position.
I think he's a dynamic player. You know, we did talk about this last year. It's kind of, you know, silver linings maybe, but with Black unable to go, I think that really gave the full robust opportunity to Amari Cooper. We know who he is. We know what he can do. And so now if Black can get the opportunity to kind of seize the moment, and you know he's got to be anxious for it, that could be a mighty nice pair of receivers. And that's before we even get to, you know, the rest of the guys. You know, Norwood, I think he's going to be limited. Kenny Bell will probably be somewhat limited. DeAndre White, I'm not sure the extent. I think he'll get out there and at least run around a little bit. You know, Shin and Woodson, I think, are both on the way out. I'm hearing reports that Cyrus Jones and Christian Jones may actually get some run at corner. That may actually mean something. We'll see how that plays out. And another freshman I'm kind of interested in is this Raheem Falkins. You know, he's 6'4". He's another big receiver, another big target for AJ. He might be a fun one to watch as well.
Going back to Christian Jones, I had not heard that. That would be a surprising move. I would not understand that one.
Yeah, his move would be surprising. I think, and we'll talk, you know, DBs here when we get to our defensive show. I think we probably have some need there. Cyrus Jones moving to DB would surprise me much less than Christian, just because Christian's further along in his career and has had some success at the position.
Oh, sure. But like you said, I mean, Chris Black came out, you know, ranked 8 in the country at wide receiver, and Amari Cooper came out at 6.
Yep.
So when those two came out, that was a huge thing for Alabama to even have those two guys. And what's even more scary is that, as you've talked about wide receivers, oh, by the way, you haven't even talked about the number one receiver in the country who committed, Robert Foster.
Yeah, and I did, that's intentional, right? Because I'm focusing on the spring, and he's not on campus. So I hear what you're saying. I'm very excited about what he's going to be and the opportunities that he's going to have. But, you know, we won't have the opportunity to see him in the spring. So he's not on my list. But Chris Black and Raheem Falkins, those are two. You know, Falkins is a freshman. Chris Black, a redshirt freshman. You know, those are two youngsters. You know, we've gotten a glimpse at Black. And then, you know, he had his injury and such. Could have come back late in the year, but it would have blown a redshirt. Probably not worth it. Ended up, you know, we didn't need him. But, man, if there's a hungry player on the team, I can't imagine anyone being more so than him.
Or DeAndre. Well, than him, yes. DeAndre White a close second. I mean, this is a guy that surprisingly started the first 5 games of the year, and we know what he can do. And so kind of like you talked about Kenyon Drake, White's in an interesting situation because, unlike Drake, he has had an injury, but this is kind of his moment to shine too. And he's going to want to hold back, right? And they're going to want to hold him back. And so it's going to be interesting just to see what we do see from him in the spring.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we both talked about, you know, he seemed to be showing a little more maturity and was performing very well last year when he went down. He was certainly a loss. And so he's going to be, you know, be one of those guys that it'll be interesting to see how he comes back as well. And you're right. He's not, you know, when we talk about, hey, who are we looking for? He's not the first name off the tongue. But, you know, when you start to look at, you know, his body of work and at least the trajectory that he was on, man, that's just another talented receiver. Again, it just goes back to how many arrows in the quiver do we have? A bunch.
Yeah, we have a hell of a lot of quivers, that's for sure. Hey, anything else on offense jumps out at you?
I think that covers the bases that I have for offense. How about you?
I'm ready to talk some defense if you are.
Well, let me hit you up. I'm gonna put you on the spot. We're talking spring. Who's your breakout offensive player for the spring?
Yeah, I kind of knew you were going to do that. It's going to have to be Derrick Henry.
Okay.
What about you?
I think O.J. Howard. I think that we're going to see something from that position.
That we haven't seen.
Yeah, we've seen dynamic running backs. We've seen dynamic, you know, receivers. But he has the opportunity to show us something at a position that we have not seen, you know, at least in our generation. So,
yeah, guess who's not going to be having fun in practice?
Who's that?
C.J. Mosley, because he's going to be trying to cover him.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know, and that's an interesting point. You know, we could see how good Howard is really quick because, you know, he's going to be going against, for my money, one of the best linebackers in the country. And it's certainly a linebacker who's tailored to pass defense.
That's how Alabama's so good, man, because they're going against each other in practice every day.
Absolutely. We going to wrap this up and hit to the defense?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, I want to throw out just a request for, you know, for our fans out there. We want to gauge a little bit of interest. It's something that Tommy and I are considering. We've had a number of people reach out to us and say, hey, we like what you're doing, which we appreciate. And they've asked, you know, gosh, we'd love it if you did a pregame show every week. And so break down Alabama, you know, and Ole Miss and Alabama, Mississippi State and Alabama, Tennessee and all the games, you know, every week. And it's something that we've toyed with. It's a phenomenal idea. We'd love to do it. But there's a certain amount of cost that goes with that, and as well as just our time. Unfortunately, we're not yet being paid to do this full time. But, you know, hey, what we're thinking about, and we want to gauge interest and get some folks to reply back to us and let us know if we're off our rocker or if this is a potentially an opportunity. We do a lot of shows, a lot of great content. We have a great time doing it, and we give every bit of it away, and we will continue to do that. What we're thinking about is putting out a premium show that would come out a couple of days before each game. We'd give our breakdown analysis a little more detail than what we do each week now. And what we'd like to do is see how many people would be interested in that. It'd be a very low cost point. And what we would do is we would want to collect a certain amount of prepay sort of reservations before the season started. We don't want to go through all the work for three listeners, but if we had a minimum number of listeners, we would definitely sign up and be happy to do it. We'd look at something like $10 for the season, so it's less than $1 a show to get the full season. We probably sell individual shows closer for $1.50 or something, so it would be worth the prepay. So if you are at all interested, that's something that you'd be interested in signing up for. You know, drop us an email, go to the website, alabamafootballpodcast.com, hit the contact page, and just let us know, hey, yeah, I'd be up for that. That's something that I'd be interested in. If not, hey, that's fine. We won't waste anybody's time, but thought we'd put it out there and see what you folks had to say. So we'll mention this a couple of times in some of our summer series, give you an opportunity to respond, but I wanted to put it out there for everyone. With that, we'll call it a wrap on the things to watch for spring practice on the offensive side of the ball, and we'll be back to talk defense. This has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide!
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.